The Bible reading this morning will be taken from Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. It's also our memory verse. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Verse 23. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord.
Well, thank you for being here today. We are thrilled that you are here, and we hope we can express that appropriately. We're thrilled that you're here, and we want to point you to our God. We have several visitors with us. God bless. God bless each of you. Thank you for coming. Our passage that we have been trying to memorize this month is in Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. Thank you, Luke. I appreciate you doing something with that. And it's supposed to be a memory verse, which means you remember it, not just read it. And let me tell you something that may help you a little bit in remembering it. It begins, thus says the Lord. It ends, declares the Lord. It's bookended by two statements that this is a revelation from God. This is a revelation from God. Thus says the Lord. Then it gives us three grounds of false confidence. Let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. But in contrast to those three negative things, but let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, and the Lord exercises three positive qualities. I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. That will be the subject of our discussion today. Now, you notice that the word boast is very prominent here. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, but let him who boast of this. This word boast is usually translated praise. It is usually translated praise. Now, it's used all kinds of times, from Psalm 146 to 150 to speak of praise to God. In our study of those Psalms, you remember each of those Psalms began with praise. Each of them ended with praise. That was an inclusio. Praise the Lord begins and ends those Psalms. But this word boast is generally translated praise, and it's used five times in this section. Three times for false boasting, and once for the proper grounds of boasting. Now, there are times this word is used in the Old Testament, and it's just sinful to boast. Those who are boastful shall not stand in the presence of the Lord or before the Lord. So sometimes it is a false boasting. It is a false confidence. Then sometimes, occasionally, a person is a proper object of boasting or praise. For example, a passage that we all know in Proverbs 31, verse 28, her husband rises up and praises her. And then in verse 31, give her the product of her hand, let her works praise her in the gates. Sometimes it's a sinful boasting. Sometimes it is a person who is a proper object of boasting. But generally, the object of boasting is the Lord. As Psalm 34, verse 2 says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Where is it that you are looking in your life for meaning, for fulfillment, for purpose? Where are you looking? And in our world, there are many people that are seeking the three things that Jeremiah 9:23 warns us against. Jeremiah 9:23 warns us that the wise man is not to boast in his wisdom. The mighty man is not to boast in his might, nor the rich man to boast in his riches. Now, you might say all of those things are not equal. Wisdom, might, and riches are not completely equal. And that is true, because of these three, we are told to acquire wisdom or to pursue wisdom. A matter of fact, Proverbs 4 verses 5 through 9 tells us that we are to make that a passionate pursuit. We are to pursue wisdom with all that we have. But that is a wisdom that has as its foundation the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so in a very real sense, in that passage, to seek wisdom is to seek the Lord, to seek His revelation. But let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. You are not going to learn enough. You're not going to get enough degrees. You're not going to be able to put enough letters behind your name to fill the emptiness of your life. Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. And in passages all around this, in the book of Jeremiah, we are told of people who have a wisdom, but it's not the kind of wisdom that Proverbs 4 encourages. It's not a wisdom built on this foundation of God. For example, look at Jeremiah 8, verses 8 and 9. How can you say, we are wise, and with us, and the law of the Lord is with us. But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do you have? Do you see here that people are trumpeting the fact we are wise, but in verse 9, they have rejected the word of the Lord? There is no true biblical wisdom while rejecting the foundation of wisdom. That doesn't deny a person can learn a lot of things about their field and even be an expert in their field. But they're not going to understand the purpose, the reason, the meaning of it without God. In Jeremiah 9, verses 12 through 14, who is the wise man? that may understand this. And who he is whom, and he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it. Why is the land ruined, laid waste like a desert, so that no one passes through? The Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but have walked after stubbornness of their heart and after Baals, as their fathers taught them. The point of this passage, the wise man is to understand. The wise man is to understand that the devastation of the land of Judah in those days have come because the people have rejected the source of all true wisdom. They have rejected the fountain of wisdom, and they have turned to the Baals. In Jeremiah 10, verse 7, the Bible said, "Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due, for among the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like him." Are you seeking meaning in life through this method? Understand how much you learn is not going to make the problems of your life disappear. Understand that the amount of degrees you possess isn't going to lead you to avoid the fear of death. Wisdom cannot provide you with meaning. Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Now, all of these passages in Jeremiah 46 through 51, we have Jeremiah's section of judgment on the nations. And all of these passages will mention the mighty men of these various nations in some way. First, you have in Jeremiah 46, the mighty men of Egypt. 48, Moab. 49, Edom. And 50 and 51 are Babylon. I just want to read one to emphasize that he's saying that might does not prevail. Might does not answer all the dilemmas of life. In verse 6 of Jeremiah 46, "Let not the swift man flee, nor the mighty man escape. In the north, beside the river Euphrates, they have stumbled and fallen. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. And let not a rich man boast in his riches." In the passage in Ezekiel chapter 7 in verse 19, God is warning that judgment is coming on Jerusalem. They are going to fall to the hands of the Babylonians. And the people, when they are fleeing, will throw their silver and their gold in the streets because they will be unable to save them. The New Testament tells us, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and destroy." Lay up. Did I quote that right? Okay. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." So just be listening, because I may ask you if I'm quoting it right. I'm going to keep you on your toes. Put all our efforts, all our energy in gaining riches, which Proverbs 23, 4 and 5 says swiftly vanishes from our fingers. You probably have to be older to even recognize this name. How many of you know the name Howard Hughes? How many of you know that name? Okay. Hate to out you as old people. While people may not know that name today, when I was growing up, everybody knew that name. Everybody had heard of who he was. He was allegedly, I don't know if he actually made it, the richest man in the world. He was living in a Las Vegas motel and had stayed there for over a year. They threatened to kick him out because he was just causing such problem, making such a mess. But instead of them evicting him, he bought the whole hotel where he could stay there. That tells you something about him. But when he passed away, he was around 6 foot and weighed about 90 pounds because he had lived in constant fear that the people around him were trying to poison him. And so he didn't eat. Why do I mention him? Why do I single him out? Because his great-grandfather and his grandfather were preachers who just emphasized, let's go back to the Bible and follow the Bible. Wow. Do you think wisdom and might and riches are going to satisfy the cravings of your soul? Do you think they're going to meet the emptiness in your heart? Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast of this. Let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me. There is a proper ground of boasting. There is a proper ground of confidence. There is a proper foundation on which to build our lives. And that foundation is on understanding and knowing the Lord. Now, I know these notes are somewhat cryptic, and let me explain a little bit that I hope can help you. The reason I put these four verses is because each of them use the same word for understands that's used there in Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, you may say, what does this have to do with it? When Eve saw the tree was good for food, it was the delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. Again, here are people seeking wisdom. They're seeking meaning apart from God in rebellion and disobedience to God. And that only ends in guilt and shame and being cast out of the garden. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was desirable to make one wise. Now in Psalm 14, this is a psalm that Paul quotes in Romans 3 to emphasize that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And there in Psalm chapter 14 verse 2, God looks down from heaven to see if there are any who understand. And that chapter renders the verdict. There is none righteous. No, not one. So there are human paths to understanding that will lead to destruction. And we're all warned that this is not going to be easy to find. But Daniel 11 talks about those who have insight, those who have understanding. Let me ask you a question. What better pursuit is there with your life than trying to understand who God is? What is a higher and nobler pursuit than to understand Him? Let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me. All throughout Exodus, throughout Ezekiel, God states, they will know that I am the Lord. Often in Exodus, it refers to Egypt. In Ezekiel, it's referring to God's people and sometimes the nations. But they will know I am the Lord. Same word for know, but this word for know is the word used when Adam knew Eve and Cain knew his wife. It is an intimate relationship. The most thorough and complete knowledge that we can have. We will never know and understand everything about an infinite God. But there is no higher calling. There is no nobler pursuit than understanding Him and knowing Him. Understanding Him and knowing Him. And if we truly know Him, if we know Him, it's going to make a difference in our relationships with others, our behavior toward others. As an illustration, in Hosea 4, the prophet said, "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land." No faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God. In verse 2, there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. All of this happens. All of this evil and harm to one another happens because there's no knowledge of God. Some of the darkest chapters of the Bible, couple of them I'll use as illustrations. We could pick others. But a couple of them. Genesis 34. Judges 19. It shows us violence. It shows us sexual sin. It shows us rape. It shows us all of these things. It is no accident that the darkest chapters in the Bible often do not mention the name of God, does not mention the Lord. In a society where there's no intimate relationship with the Lord, all suffer in terms of the consequences of the personal relationships. If you want to change our world for good, if you want to make it a better place than you found it, devote yourself to understanding and knowing Him. And then, after giving us three reasons, three false grounds of confidence, three false grounds of boasting, then the text asks who the Lord is. And the Bible says, I am the Lord who exercises, I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, righteousness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, relentless love, a love that refuses to give up on people. To know Him, to understand Him, is to understand what He delights in. He delights in loving kindness. In Exodus 34, the people had sinned by worshiping the golden calf. In Exodus 32, Moses threw down the tablets of stone to symbolize how they had broken the covenant. Moses intercedes. Moses pleads. Moses begs for God's forgiveness. And the Lord shows Moses what He can handle of His glory. The Lord God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindnesses and truth, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands. When God reveals who He is to Moses, when He shows Moses His glory, right at the foundation of that is His loving kindness, His justice, and His righteousness. These passages show us that justice and righteousness are the foundation of God's throne. Psalm 89:14 and 97 in verse 2. They are the foundation of God's throne. And when God praised a king like David in 2 Samuel 8, verses 15 through 18, He praised him for doing justice and righteousness. Josiah is praised in a similar way in Jeremiah 22, verses 15 and 16. He did justice and righteousness. Treat others justly. Do with them what is right, as God does with us. If you build your life on any other ground except this God, it's sinking sand. That house will collapse in time of crisis. If you base your house on wisdom, on might, and on riches, it will come crumbling down. But build your life on the foundation of understanding and knowing God, of knowing what God delights in, that he delights in loving kindness and justice and righteousness. God delights in them, and we seek to rejoice in simply living this way in pleasing to him. Let us pray. O Lord our God, there's no higher aim, no loftier pursuit than understanding you and knowing you. Knowing what you delight in and living our lives accordingly. For those moments that we have built our lives on foolish pursuits, on empty goals, or even maybe meaningful goals for selfish purposes, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive us. Let us not boast in wisdom, in might, in riches, or anything equivalent, but let us find our grounds of boasting in you, in knowing you, in understanding you. And we thank you for how you've revealed these truths in Jesus. In him we pray. Amen. Let me encourage you to think about these verses, to seek to memorize them. And sometimes what you're going to find is there's going to be a situation where you face an event and that verse will come back to you and help shape and form our conduct for good. May the Lord help us to write his word upon our hearts. In the New Testament, as we've studied on Wednesday night and this morning in the auditorium class, that people repented and turned from their evil ways. They repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sins. We see that all through the book of Acts. If you have questions about that, feel free to ask us afterwards. If you want to do that right now, to receive forgiveness, to start your quest of understanding and knowing God, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.